Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This podcast is sponsored by eHarmony, the dating app that helps people find genuine connection. Let's be honest, the days of dating only one person at a time feel a little old school. In their recent Dating Diaries report, eHarmony found that 45% of Gen Z singles are comfortable dating more than one person at the same time. But it's a balance, right? Have you ever spread yourself too thin? Well, dating multiple people at the same time is fine while you're honest about it. It can be exhausting constantly searching for that special connection with someone. eHarmony can help you find that genuine connection by helping you find someone who gets you, so you don't have to throw quite so many lines out there. Their well-rounded personality quiz and expansive profiles help to show the real you and can lead to that genuine connection you've been searching for. So join the dating app that gets to know their users better so they can match better and see for yourself. Get someone who gets you. Start a conversation on eHarmony today.
Well, we got some hot crosstalk, some phone calls. Sonny Carolla comes in the studio. And then later on, Bryan Cranston is going to join us in the second half. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Fraudsters. I hate fraudsters. They're sending out messages through social media and emails of a cash app scam, trying to get free money off folks during this difficult time. Protect yourself. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. Put our info at risk on the internet. You can miss certain identity threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. Protect yourself. It's 2020, people. You're online all day. It's easy. You're shopping. You're getting food. You're on. I have all these apps open. Your info is out there. You need insurance. You need LifeLock. It's 2020. You need to protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
Knowing to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock, and see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to lifelock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on PodcastOne.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Bryan Cranston. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Bryan on sound effects. And now, earlier today, he put the staff through mandatory racism training. But he felt like they were racist enough. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Bryan.
Hi, guys.
Well, speaking of Bryans with a Y.
Yeah, the best.
Cranston's going to be on the second half of the show today, so we look forward to that.
In case you're wondering if I'm a fan, not too much. Not really.
Oh, we're looking at all the Breaking Bad bobbleheads.
Yeah. I mean, I could take them or leave them. I've only watched the whole series 8 times.
Sonny's a fanatic, too. Sonny insisted on coming in the studio or coming in to work with me today, something he normally dreads when he found out Cranston was part of it. I will warn this. I will warn all people of this. And Sonny, if you're listening, that's fine.
He's not.
I've found that there's a lot of people in my life that are sort of checked out in general to many of the things I do. But then every once in a while they go, why didn't you tell me that Bryan Cranston was coming? Because you're on my list of people I don't tell things to because you're sort of generally you're checked out. So
you got to be on the mailing list.
You got to be on the mailing list. Yeah. One of the most heartbreaking conversations I ever had with my mom once is she said to me, how come you didn't tell me about X, Y, and Z? And I went, you're not on my list of people I tell things to. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think of telling you stuff. I think of telling Jimmy or somebody else this stuff.
And by the way, before you give me any shit, you put yourself on that list.
That's right, Sonny. You put yourself on that list. But he's only got one foot on that list. There's other people, the mayor of that list. But I was on my rowing machine last night, and he came down at 10 o'clock at night, went, Cranston's coming in tomorrow? And I was like, yep. And he's like, what? Now he's all up in daddy's business. So yeah.
I believe he's donating plasma as well for COVID antibodies.
Sonny, what a nice kid.
What a heart.
What a responsible little boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cranston is doing that. And I think he may even be better than we thought, which is he evidently had COVID, kept it on the down low.
Your shop shook a bunch of hands.
Shook a bunch of hands. Him and I wrestled nude for a little while, and then he went back home. And then he went to UCLA to give blood so they could get the platelets. And I think he was going to do the whole thing kind of anonymously or privately. And then somebody at UCLA said to him, hey, if you could get the word out, we could get more platelets in here if a guy like you would talk about it. So he admitted he had AIDS. And now everyone was super confused. The end. So he got the word out.
Save some lives on the way.
That's right. I wasn't going to get out of the gate with Ernest Lee Bigot, but we had Mike Lynch's intro that Dawson gave us. It kind of reminded me of an Ernest Lee Bigot, which I slipped into the other day when I was talking to somebody. I don't know if you guys have experience this, but I've experienced, and I've traveled around a lot, I've experienced a higher percentage of black folk wearing a mask than white folk. That has been my experience.
I haven't noticed that here.
Well, I've traveled. I think you have to travel around a little. Yeah. We know that the anti-maskers are exclusively white. I mean, that much we know. Every piece of footage we've seen from any Costco of someone wrestling with somebody or yelling at somebody, they'll never see a black person without the mask.
There's Herman Cain, although do we still count him?
Oh, Brian.
Well, his Twitter account still active. Tweeted this morning.
That's right.
I got that in my favorite tweets. I was going to serve that up to you. I saw that and I thought of you. All right. Now, the discussion was... let me get into my Ernest Lee Bigot, which is black people are wearing a mask, it appears to be, at a higher or more consistent rate than white people. And I suggested to the person I was talking to, well, if 93% of black people are Democrat and Democrats are more apt to wear the mask than a Republican and whitey's kind of split down the middle, Republican, Democrat, well, then that would make some sense to me, right?
Sure. That's a correlation there for sure.
And then the person I was speaking to said, but I have noticed that many of them have the mask down under the nose.
Mm.
And then Ernest Lee Bigot said... Well, maybe it's because they're used to wearing their pants that way. I'm just asking.
He's just asking. He's not making a declarative statement. He's simply asking the question.
He's just Ernest Lee Bigot is just asking. If the folks are wearing their pants down low, then wouldn't it make sense that everything slid down a rung? You know what I mean?
I mean, it's worth studying. I can't
when you
say,
put it you like know. That, Ernest.
Maybe your shirt's unbuttoned, one extra button. Maybe the drawers, the pants slide down one. Maybe everything slides down. Maybe if the ball cap comes down a little lower. You know what I'm saying? Maybe everything just drops down.
A notch.
That's an important observation.
The pants may create... Look, I'm just asking, but I'm just saying and asking. The pants create like a vacuum that actually pulls the mask down as the pants drop down.
Oh, everything slides down.
It's a gravitational thing. It's
an
orbit thing.
That's what I'm saying. Right. This is pure gravity. Ernest is just asking. That's all.
Hey, Ernest, speaking of that really, really relevant and poignant observation, did you hear that in Compton what the fines are going to be for no masks?
They have fines in Compton?
Oh, we did the story last night. So apparently, the first time's a warning.
Hold on. You're Jewess. Are you not?
I'm a Jewish.
How do you, of all people, know what's going on in Compton?
Oh, because I control the news, because I work for the news, organization.
You mean
does it all snap back into focus?
Your dad controls the news. You're a little lady.
Well, she'll inherit the news, Mr. Ben.
Well, she's got to have an older brother.
Well,
we can't let the Jewesses run everything. The Jews run everything. You understand? Jewesses.
They're worse.
Yeah, they're just there to polish the dill pickle of their of the Jews that run everything. When I say Jews run, control the media, I'm not talking about Jewesses.
I didn't realize that.
No, the
Thank
Jew
you.
Is shrewd.
So this.
Thank you for reminding me of my place.
Yeah,
really important.
So you heard from a Jewish fella.
I heard from a Jewish boss, which I guess you can just say.
That's right.
Yeah.
Controller.
Boss.
Right.
Yeah. That they're joining the list of cities giving fines to people who aren't wearing covering. So first time's free. First time the warning. Second violation in Compton for being caught without your mask. $500.
Ooh.
Third violation, $750. Fourth, $1,000.
Listen, I don't know if folks know a lot about LA and the LA area, but we used to like confiscate cars. Like if we pulled over a guy and he didn't have documentation or proper driver's license or any proof that he owned the car, we used to take the car and impound him. We don't anymore because everyone was just kind of leave them. Good luck getting the good folks of Compton to write that cashier's check to the city of Compton for $500. I bet you could hand those things out all day long. I think they'd just be. I think we're living in a world where people would mail away that check to the city of Compton anymore. Could they?
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out because Garcetti, who is our mayor, is very, you know, people call him yoga pants and, you know, Mr., you know, sort of.
Do people call him yoga pants?
Yes.
Well, John and Ken do, yeah.
Okay.
Mayor yoga pants. You know, just very like, I'm everybody's best friend. I'm a squishy teddy bear. And then it's like, we want everyone to wear the mask. But now it's kind of thin ice because you're dealing with people who may be struggling right now. You're dealing with people of color who may be struggling, and you're going to give them a $500. I couldn't afford a $500 fine right now.
I know Garcetti, and I know everything in this land is optics. It's all optics. As I was explaining to my son on one of our many walks when we're getting pelted by leaf blowers, and he said, they should make those illegal. And I said, they are illegal. They've been illegal for 20 years in L.A. And he's like, well, why do they never enforce them? Like, because poor brown people are the ones that are operating them. And no one likes the optics of coming down on the poor brown man. So the optics of this sound bad from yoga pants. So I'm guessing it feels to me like probably someone who has a little more pigment in their skin from Compton, who's a city, whatever, is the one that's imposing this, or at least suggesting it.
You would have to imagine.
You don't. This ain't the world. I can't picture him.
No.
I can't picture Garcetti waltzing into Compton and going, here's the rules, brother.
No.
And by the way, if you want to go to Encino, no problemo. But here, this is what you guys do. I can't see that. I'll bet
There's probably logic in that.
Yeah, there's going to be like some Maxine Waters version of Compton person, city council person provided this or floated this weather balloon. That's my prediction if I know LA.
They do say that cases in Compton specifically are growing exponentially. So maybe they're just couching it as, hey, this is how much we care. You know, we like parents.
Your community
hurts me
victimized.
A lot more than it hurts you.
Yeah. Which I'm all fine with. It's just everything now is optics. And I just can't imagine Garcetti implementing that. Did you find anything, Maxipana? All right. So let's see. We have, see what I wrote down here. I have a theory. I was doing an interview with a Navy SEAL named Cade earlier in the day.
That's a Navy SEAL name.
Yeah, it'll be on Take a Knee coming up. And I started discussing this mechanical world and this emotional world, but also the input of accepting information. And so I'm going to lay out a theory, and then you guys tell me what you think, which is the process of ingesting information. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Before you go any further, I just did. I wouldn't say a deep dive in any way. I clicked on another link. How do you do it? How do you do it? Apparently, this is there was a quote saying, you know, we really care about this community. This is how it has to be, says city attorney
Geraldine Blackman,
Craig Cornwall.
And I thought, well,
let's look up city manager Craig Cornwall.
Oh, he is a brother and a half. No, no. All right. Now it's all back.
Sorry, you were saying?
Well, I'll circle back to pat myself on the ass cheek, and then we'll get on with this idea I want to float in front of you, which is, I'm telling you people, you will know everything by knowing nothing. You study patterns. You don't study information. Study patterns. So Gina Grad is a seasoned news veteran who does the news on KFI and knows the news. So when she comes in and goes, hey, did you hear this story I reported last night? Garcetti is going to impose fines in Compton. I think to myself, you have all the information. Mm-hmm. I have no information, but I have I own all the patents to the patterns.
Wow.
I own the patent office, not the patent office, the pattern office. You know
That's
what I mean?
Amazing.
And I think to myself, now, first off, who am I to say you're incorrect with your news story? You're the one who I never heard of this until you opened your mouth, right? And you've already reported it. So I'm like thinking, you have all the information, but then you have to think what Trump's information in today's era is patterns. Patterns trump information now. Sadly, we used to just work off of information. Now you have to factor in the pattern and the information. And Garcetti is not only the whitest guy in Los Angeles, but he's also very conscious of how he comes across to
Incredibly.
Groups and
yes.
never stops talking about people of color and the disenfranchised and the communities that can't afford whatever. It's a nonstop talking point for him. And the idea that this guy would put his name on, you know, Garcetti says $500 fine for the black folk who live in Compton who won't wear a mask or don't wear a mask sounds almost impossible to me.
Yeah.
Even though he's the mayor and Compton's, you know, in Los Angeles, and kind of makes sense. And even you reported it. So then you go into this next strata, which is dig around and see who imposed it. And then the guy's name is Craig Dubinet or whatever
General
his name is.
Cornwall.
Yeah, his name is Craig Cornwall, which really sounds like what's the white guy's name in the PSA, Brian?
Oh, Graham
Wellington. What?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Yeah, Craig Cornwall sounds like his cousin, right?
Right.
Like they go to Martha's Vineyard every summer. So now you go, the guy's name is Craig Cornwall. And I'm like, huh? But he still has to be black in my world. Because that can't just be some red-haired guy who's in Compton who's decreeing that all his black subjects wear a mask. And then you show a picture of the guy, and he's a brother. And now we're back to where we were.
We're aligned.
Right,
and
we're aligned.
And I do, just for anyone who's going to at me and tweet me, please don't bother. Because when we think of the city of L.A., we think of, you know, especially when we live here, we think of every neighborhood that we can drive to. And I looked it up, and I think Aja Brown is the mayor of Compton, not Mayor Garcetti. I'm sorry, but we think he is the face of all of Los Angeles, Mayor Garcetti.
Right. But again, keep yourself tuned. And when you keep yourself tuned and Gina Grad goes, Garcetti says you got to wear a mask in Compton, you're like, all right, I'm tuned. Something's wrong with that story.
Something's amiss.
And once you're tuned, then you'll have a really high batting average of what is happening. And it doesn't ever mean you should go, liar. What it means is you go, okay, noted. Let me investigate this a little bit. And now we have our answer. Okay.
Craig Cornwall.
So the avenue for information, and what I was talking to Navy SEAL Kate about was, why are so many people reluctant, resistant, or whatever to these words of advice? these avenues for achieving something, for, you know, here's what you should do, and here's what you're doing too much of this and not enough of that or whatever. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it starts off those avenues, the highway to the information that is penetrating you, hopefully, as an adult. I wonder if that highway is built in a real, tangible, physical, instructional kind of way as a young person. Like you're a young person and you hunt, you know, and your dad's telling you how to hold the rifle and how to gut the elk and how, you know, how to do it and how to do that. You know, it's a whole bunch of rules. Or you play Pop Warner football, or later on you become a carpenter or something. And there's all this kind of mechanical, tangible highway of information, you know. And so if you're going to work in a trade, or you're going to work in a mill, or you're working heavy equipment or something like that, then there's a constant kind of, here's the information and here's what you have to learn. As we get away from that part of life, as we get away from the kind of tangible, mechanical, you know, the dad's going to go up on the roof with the son and explain to him how to patch the roof or how to start the car.
Yeah, whether it's hunting, the aforementioned hunting, or Little League, or whatever it is, like there's a process, there's steps, you have to learn. It has to become muscle memory.
Right.
Rote.
And we're getting away from the part where, imagine, everyone had to go through the ritual back in the day of, I'm going to teach you how to drive a stick, you know, get in the car, you know, fire it up, push the clutch in, you know, when you put it in first, no, you're in third, you got to pull it closer to your hip, you know, but that's first gear, you'll feel it in first, you know, when you start letting the clutch out and you gotta give it some gas, oh, you stalled it. All right, let's try it again. Work that little dance between your right foot and your left foot and so on and so forth. As we get away from that, and we get away from the kind of physical instruction world of, again, just learning to drive a stick when you're 15 and a half, or hunt, or repair things, or whatever that is, I wonder if the highway isn't getting built like that information where people are going to – I feel like my highway's in place because of all the physical instruction I got my whole life, and now I can hear ideas. Mm-hmm. We'll also now pass down that same highway that was built. But like, there's so many people, and I've experienced a few of them, where they're 19, and you're sitting down and going, here's what it's going to take, and here's what it's going to do, but there's no highway. Mm-hmm. They never built their highway. It's just, it's an old man talking. And I know there's exceptions both directions, but I'm saying is I wonder if getting away from the instruction, you know, my kids just don't get the instruction that I got. They just don't have the people in their lives telling them what to do and what not to do. Yes, Brian.
So I'm going to say something you probably don't want to hear, but I wonder if part of the reason, only because you mentioned your kids, part of the reason is a push-pull thing where, like, that's why – and I can't say at a young age, but that's why at a certain age, homework is important, because for most of us who go to work in the corporate worlds, your life is going to be projects and due dates and please get this done by the end of the day, or please get this done by the end of the hour, or here's a project you and the team are working on for the next month. And I wonder if homework is being devalued a little bit, or the right kind of homework. I don't mean like math problems. I mean like project-based stuff. Like in middle school and high school, they should be doing like, all right, you have a project. Just do it in a month. That's accountability, and that's accountability not just to yourself but to the team. You know what I mean? Which is what life ends up being for 80% of adults.
I agree.
Exactly what Brian said, and just to simplify, working with deadlines.
Oh, no. The homework part, in terms of you're responsible for this and it has to be turned in Monday morning, that part I like. I'd probably like it better if they said you have to go home and build a hummingbird feeder and bring it in Monday morning. I'd probably
it's
like
more realistic,
that,
frankly, than spelling or
that. My homework thing is kind of twofold, which is I feel like you go to school for 7 or 8 hours a day. When you punch out, you should just be done with school. That I don't like the assigning of more to do when you get home. It's kind of threefold. I feel like especially at 11 or 12, you've paid your debt to society. You got dropped off at school at 7:30. You came back at 3:30. You're done with school today. That's my feeling. The part where you do more when you get home, I don't really like. The real part, there's two other real parts of this. One is it ends up creating a bunch of stuff for you to do at home, like arguments, like, I need more of this, and you're not that, and you got to help me, and all that kind of stuff. But it also, in a world where we're talking about the haves and the have-nots, the folks that can hire tutors or have professional parents with, like, flexible schedules and stuff like that are much more able to do that stuff. If you're talking about, the mayor of Compton, like we were talking about, those people going back with the single mom is working two jobs. I don't know. Good luck getting that homework assignment in. But let's where's Sonny? Can Sonny hear me? I'm going to pull him in here and tell him I want more performance out of him. So yeah, I agree with the exposure with the I agree with the part where you have a task and you must complete it. Sonny?
Where's Santino?
We've decided we don't like your academics.
I don't know if he does either.
Yeah, I heard you talking about how you don't like homework.
And I'm going to insist that you do more homo work. Get the hell out of here, you scamp. Go take some drugs in the parking lot and light a cigarette for me.
That's it?
That's it. I'll bring in when Cranston comes in and he can. You can ask him a question.
All right.
Is that your favorite show?
What, Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about The Man Show?
Remote doesn't work.
What about the other day when I wanted to watch my stand-up special in the theater I built, and you said the remote didn't work?
I didn't say the remote didn't work. It wouldn't download. We bought it, and then it didn't work.
Yeah.
We bought it, and then it didn't register.
Right.
Right.
But what if that was Breaking Bad? Do you think you could have solved the problem?
I think I would have put more effort into it, yes.
Or some effort into it?
I like the honesty.
I put some effort into it. I mean...
Let's see if we can do a breakdown of the movie theater in the house. What percentage of the did Daddy pay for, and what percentage of it did Daddy work on?
You paid for at least 99% of it.
All right.
Okay, we can round that
and
up.
And the work part.
The work you did, 2-3%.
2 or 3%.
Oh, yeah.
I built that goddamn riser, son. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I thought Peter did that. It seems like something you'd have Peter do.
This is a blurry line that everyone has. Whenever I go, I rebuilt this house and refurbished it. Did you hang every sheet of drywall? No, I did not. I did not spread every square inch of stucco. I did not hang every sheet of drywall. I did not haul every load of garbage to the dump. No, I did not. I paid for it all. I designed it all. And I did much of it. But no, I did not spread every ounce of joint compound on the drywall.
It'd be like a contractor driving by a house with the son going, see that house, son? I built that. It's like, you built
did
the studs.
Did you build it? Right.
It's like, well, all right, no, hammer? I did not hammer the studs in.
Right. So the point is I built that theater and I paid for that theater. Now,
I built a good amount of it.
You did not. Oh, you helped out for half a day. All right, now let's break down percentages in terms of people in the house who utilize the theater.
Me.
You're number one.
No, not number. Natalia and her friends too much.
Number one. All right.
So Natalia
they're at a 0% help with an 89% utilization rate.
Yeah. I'm like a 10%
help. You're 2% help with a 71% utilization rate?
I'm 10% help, yeah.
Mom's 0% with 102% utilization rate?
Yeah.
And I'm at 99% with a 0% utilization rate?
99% and 10% don't add up to 100%.
All right, see? You don't need homework. All right.
It just makes the bad students worse, and that's why I'm such a bad student.
Oh, right. See, it creates a chasm.
Yeah. This testing business is a racket.
That's right.
I'm good at testing. My average test score was 95.
Oh, my.
And I'm still a very bad student.
Wait, out of 110?
Out of 100.
HIV test.
Okay. Oh.
Come on,
that's
Ryan.
That's what you want.
All right, go compose a question for Mr. Cranston, and we'll bring in many.
I don't know which one I'm going to ask, though.
All right. Well, kill a few of your darlings, but yeah, go ahead. Test them out.
Yeah, yes. What you got?
I want to ask him about what he thinks Vince Gilligan's going to do.
Okay.
In the future, and if he's going to have a small role in season 5 of Better Call Saul.
Back burner that question.
Yeah, you should ask him about his mezcal and tell him and give a real intense review of what you thought of it.
Of his role in Breaking Bad.
His tequila company.
Oh.
It's got a booze company.
All joking aside, I know you're a huge Breaking Bad fan, but generally don't ask super famous people what they think other famous people are going to do.
That makes sense.
You may not know. You may not talk to Vince Gilligan anymore.
Do you have a favorite moment from the show that really sticks with you? Because that might be something he'd want to hear about as
Probably, I think it was the last episode of season 4, or one of the last. It was where he was in the crawl space and he was like laugh crying.
I knew it.
That was a very good scene.
Excellent. Yes. Bring that up.
That's perfect. Ask him about it. Ask him what he was thinking.
I knew it.
Yeah.
That is the pinnacle moment that all bets are off. Perfect. Perfect moment, Sonny. Ask him about what it took to get into character for that. Was it easy? Was it hard? That's a perfect moment to bring up.
Okay, I'll talk to him about that.
All right, do that, boy.
All right.
All right. So we'll do that in a second. I got a couple of phone calls up here. Let's see. Wants to share a recent experience turning left on a red. Mm. An old lady wouldn't budge. Let's see. Pete, 47, Washington. All right, hold on. Pete, can you hear me? All right, hold on. Someone here's leaning.
He's on line one, supposedly.
Oh, yeah, I hit line one. I got these taped off.
I didn't see.
All right, Marco, 46, Albany, New York.
That's me. Thank you for having me back on the world's greatest podcast.
Thank you, world's greatest caller. What do you got?
I'm leading a discussion of your film Uppity next week in my racial justice work group. So I just watched it for the second time, and I wondered if I could get on and ask you a couple of questions.
Sure. What racial discussion work group do you have?
Yeah, what kind of job has this?
So I am an attorney. I work for the state of New York, and my group, we prosecute violations of administrative statutes.
Oh, okay. Ugh, I'd fucking kill myself. God.
What do you mean?
You work for the fucking city? What do you do? Telling business like how to run their business, or how's it work?
I work for the state.
Oh, the state.
And, there are rules, and when these rules are violated, the violators pay a fine, or sometimes they get their license suspended or revoked.
How much of it is legitimate versus what you would call sort of ancillary stuff?
Yeah, what's an example of like a typical complaint or something you investigate?
I don't know that we want to get into that. I wanted to talk about Uppity.
All right, but how much of it would you consider substantial versus a nuisance?
In my case, everything we do is substantial.
Really?
Well, maybe once it gets to him. Yeah. You know,
once it gets to you. Okay. All right.
That's right. And I also mediate a lot of these things and decline to prosecute if it is a, I'm a great admirer of yours. So I want to do something that was anathema to your philosophy.
Okay. Well, thank you. So Uppity discussion.
Well, let me start with the first thing. Was it the racial injustice angle that attracted you to the project in the first place?
I don't know if you separate, it's kind of hard to separate things. There's good subjects for docs and there's bad subjects for docs. And
you always find racial injustice appealing. You attracted the story.
I got my head on a racial injustice swivel. I'm like a linebacker dropping back into a hook zone. So I'm always looking for that angle. But, I thought Willie was a great subject for a documentary.
I mean, he absolutely is. He's such a compelling character.
Yeah, that's the way we felt.
So then, I mean, watching it today in these times, I mean, I couldn't really see it any other way. One thing I noticed was it seemed to me like Willie maybe would have done better had he been a little more diplomatic. He seemed remorseless in the film. Did he ever admit such a thing?
No, that's kind of the nuance of it, because you're always kind of left to wonder, was it racism or is it Willie just being, you know, he could be abrasive and aggressive and he punched guys at the track. And
right.
And I think you're sort of, what you're left to kind of think about or wrestle with is it was kind of some of each, you know, there was elements of both. It wasn't this or that. It was an element of,
right,
you got a black guy and that may have been okay, but now the black guy's on top of the roof celebrating like Muhammad Ali, and there's an element of like, we race cars, we don't get up on roofs and do the Ali shuffle. So there's kind of an element of that, and it's kind of hard to tell. Like, if there was a white guy who got up on the roof and did the shuffle back then, they may have frowned upon that as well. So they wouldn't have
taken it personally.
Probably.
That's one of my favorite nuances of the film, is that it's not just, you know, Willie T. Ribbs is a victim. He was, but at the same time, I mean, you know, to a certain extent, but at the same time, Willie didn't do himself any favors, you know, maybe get on top of the car and dancing, right, and he was abrasive, and it makes it a very interesting, nuanced sort of case.
Well, and there's a line in the documentary that sums it up perfectly when Willie says, "They called me uppity and I loved it."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else do you need to know about Willie?
I don't know, and he said the whole word.
It is true, you can't isolate it out, right?
It's hard to, but I made the film and I don't know. So I, you know, how could Willie lived it and he might not know exactly what was racism and what was, again, just him acting in a way that rubbed people the wrong way. But you have any other questions, Marco? I thank you for doing this.
I absolutely do have other questions. Well, here, how about a fun question? At some point, he brings up the Deacon Jones head slap. Is that prompted or organic?
Who brings it up?
I think Willie brings it up, right?
Oh, Willie. Oh, up, you're right.
He hits a guy like Deacon Jones doing the head slap.
Right,
I know
that's right.
A lot of mileage out of Deacon Jones.
That was complete happenstance. Willie's just of the age where he would have been familiar with Deacon Jones and his head slap, and he used that as an example of saying, I didn't punch the guy, I gave him a head slap, like a Deacon Jones head slap. That's right. Because when you go upside a man or woman's head, they tend to blink their eyes. That's my favorite quote of all the NFL. I
know you love that. It's a great Easter egg.
I love it. Thank you, Mark. I love it not because I'm pro head slapping women. I love the fact that the NFL Network, whoever whacked that thing together, NFL Films, just left it in there. They edited it out now. It's the most easily edited piece in the world, because he goes, when you go upside a man's head, edit. They tend to blink their eyes. And then you go to game footage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you don't have to smooth it over with, some old footage of him rushing.
Doing the head slap. It's the easiest thing to remove ever. And yet, they left it in for 30 years. Until I spotted it and started yelling about it on the radio every 10 minutes, and then now it's
sometimes
gone.
Sometimes it's goalposts, sometimes it's head slaps. It goes both ways.
Social change. All right, real quick here. Brett. 32, San Diego, called a couple of months ago about getting into jiu-jitsu, and you want to give us an update?
Yeah, Ace Man, Paul and Gina, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
Hey, when I called in a couple of months ago, I actually had a couple stripes on my white belt, and I was just about ready to give up. And just showed up early and often. I kept going, put my head down, grind it out, and just received my blue belt on Tuesday night. So I just wanted to, say thanks. And I called in and I was in that spot where I was thinking about giving up. And I didn't, obviously. And I just took your advice that you always have been saying for years, show up early and often, and sit down, pay attention. I did. And Ace Man, I actually have one more thing to the question, or my call-in, rather, is I know you say you always have a real good memory. About 10 years ago in Fresno, California, I don't know if you recall running into two drunk guys that didn't quite know what they wanted from you.
Yes, I do. Outside. Yeah. Out back.
You're talking to them, man. That was actually me and my buddy. And
well, to refresh your memory, when we're leaving the theater in Fresno, we're walking out the back. We'd already spent, you know, an hour in the lobby signing autographs and taking pictures and doing what we used to do back in the day when people could line up and shake your hand. And then when we walked out the back, you and your buddy were just drunk and kind of hanging out. And you're like, could we get a picture? And I was like, yeah, okay, all right. It's always a little annoying because these are people that didn't wait in line in the front of the place. Mm. They just hung out in the back and drank beer. And eventually, when you walk out the back,
made it much more difficult on themselves. They could have gotten this over with half an hour ago.
Well, they could have, but I think sometimes they go across the street and have a beer, wait for the line to run out, and then bum rush a guy in the parking lot. But then, so we're like, could we get a picture? We're like, took a picture. And then you said, like, could you sign this or something? Like, sign this. And I was kind of walking, getting into the car. And as I was getting in the car, you and your buddy were like, oh, so that's it? That's all? And I remember going up on stage the next night or wherever I was, and I ended up turning it to a bit, which is basically, what do you want, a blowjob by the dumpster? Yeah. Like, what do you mean that's all? Yes, that's all. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, Adam. All right.
Appreciate it. All right, let me hit ZipRecruiter here. As an employer, you've got your plate full nowadays, and you don't need a bunch more on there. Running your business, regulations, ensuring workplace safety, make hiring easy. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That's where you go. Sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Plus, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Features like screening questions to filter candidates and an all-in-one dashboard to review and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Take care of your business. Find the right employees. And whether you're looking for a job or you need someone to fill a position, it's always ZipRecruiter, right, Dawson?
Right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADAM, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Even people who disagree on everything agree on Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Bryan Cranston says, Adam has done it again. In this book, he's managed to make me laugh at one moment, then cry out, what an idiot, in the next. His own blue-collar mastery of the language invites the reader into the conversation, just like the podcast. So much so that I breezed through the book in only one sitting on the toilet. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture. Pick up a copy now at adamcarolla.com.
Thank you, Cranston. All right, should we do a little news with Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So just yesterday, I believe, we were talking about, or at least within the last couple of days, about how we don't really expect peace in the Middle East to come anytime soon. Well, maybe Trump is going to help push that along a little bit, because he says a peace agreement has been agreed upon by Israel and the United Arab Emirates. On Twitter, Trump called the agreement between our two great friends a huge breakthrough. Speaking in the Oval Office, Trump told reporters that the two countries will exchange embassies and ambassadors and begin cooperation across the board. And he said he expects other countries to follow the lead on this going forward. So good luck, Iraq and Iran and Lebanon and Jordan.
Jared did it.
It may
all
be nice
at the time.
It may be nice. It may be. I wonder, You know, this country is becoming more secular. We're just kind of drifting away from religion.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think these other countries that are, I mean, the religion is kind of feel like it's driving a lot of the animus and the fighting and the, you know, it all seems to be this group against that group. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe the world will sort of drift away from religion, and maybe as it drifts away, maybe these tensions will cool a little.
Very possible.
I don't know.
I can see the trend being to drift away from religion gradually. Yeah, for sure.
Well, and when you put it like, you know, when you talk about Sharia law or something that's, I mean, ages and ages and eons old, and that's right. Controlling, you know, stoning women or, you know, mercy killing because somebody was raped or whatever, the things that are just such a bygone era that we couldn't even wrap our heads around. If that's based in religion and that starts to erode, then yeah, I guess I would consider that a step in the right direction.
Well, I just imagine as the...
And that goes for many religions.
As the... Yeah, we know the ones you're talking about. All right. As the world gets older, we get percentages less religious every 10 years. You know, it just goes. It just has to go that way. There's more data and more science and more satellites in the air and whatever. So it would make sense that would affect... That would be true globally. It just would, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe we'll incrementally get there just through this long slog. Now, of course, it'd be nice just to fast track it by all these assholes not killing each other in the name of religion. But if that's not going to work, then maybe we just have to weed the religion out or have a lesser percentage involved. Anyway, all right, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Well, more White House news. Kanye recently took a meeting with Trump's son-in-law and White House staffer Jared Kushner, according to TMZ. Despite the no politics rule on his vacation with Kim and the family, Kanye reportedly snuck off to privately meet with Kushner while the family was in Colorado. Ivanka, Jared, and Kanye apparently linked up in Telluride in Colorado. Kanye tells the New York Times that he talked about black empowerment, and he tweeted out, "I'm willing to do a live interview with the New York Times about my meeting with Jared, where we discussed Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics."
How are you going to have a secret meeting in this day and age?
Is it possible? And tell the New York Times, you'll tell them all about it.
Yeah, it feels like it sabotaged.
who outed them? Was it a secret meeting?
Kanye outed himself.
Sounds like Kanye.
He just outed himself?
Sounds like it, yeah. He told them they had a secret meeting, and he'll tell you all about it.
He'd make the world's worst criminal. Like, could you imagine like trying to pull a caper off with him? Now, listen, mum's the word. We never met. You understand?
Ooh, that's a good hook. Mum's the word. Okay. I can use that.
You don't even know me because we've never met before. Understanding, I guess, stay on script.
Now, Jesus, how do you spell robbery? Is it EY or just
no,
Y?
No.
I'm tweeting about
Remember,
our
you're already, no. Your checklist of duct tape and zip ties, get rid of that. Burn that in the fire.
I'm TikToking this planning session
right
now.
Oh, no. Jesus Christ, what a crazy world. You know, Kanye was at Danny Two Sheets' wedding in Texas.
What?
Did I ever tell you guys that?
No.
No. Danny Two Sheets was probably married probably about 12 years ago, I would say, in Texas. I'm trying to think of how we could figure that one out. I'm trying to... Matt might have it on my calendar or something, but... Kanye was definitely invited, and he definitely was there.
We're going to need more. I'm sorry.
That's all I really remember.
How do they know each other?
I think Kanye, I maybe this is true because it was true for Eminem. So I don't know if it's a universal thing, but Kanye, I think, loved Crank Yankers, and I think Kanye contacted Daniel to like had his own idea for, you know, it's crazy Kanye, right? You're like watching a show going, I love that show. I'm going to get hold of the guy who does that show and we're going to do our own show. So I think there was some of that.
Wow. But as opposed to Eminem, who just did a bit, Kanye bought a ticket and a tux and went to the wedding.
Yeah. So they had that relationship. Yeah.
That is my mind is blown.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I should have brought that up at the time. I don't know what I was thinking.
Can we get some more information from Danny? Because this is a big one. This is a big discovery.
Yeah, I'll hit him up. I remember, I think Kanye was there, and I think Pete Berg got really drunk and had to throw him out or some version of that.
I know he's working on a puppet show with Kanye a few years back.
He was working on a puppet show with Kanye a few years back.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's the same show. Oh, well, yes. Okay, we'll go with that. So there you go.
It's quite a revelation.
I know.
So Uber may not be in California much longer, and Lyft might be going the same way. Yeah.
That was one of the rare instances where I got so drunk the night before, I couldn't effectively play softball the next day.
Oh, wow.
And that's a level of drunk that I don't normally get to.
It's dark days.
Because I can usually tie one on the night before and still play some pretty damn decent softball the next afternoon. I was fucking useless. I was popping up every time I got to the plate. I remember Kevin Hench was like disgusted with me. He's like, oh, what happened? I thought you were a good softball player. I can't focus. I was sweating beer and shots out of my... We went to some barbecue place the night before and everyone just tied one on. I think it was in... God, it must have been... I don't know. It must have been in Austin. We must have went to Austin. Anyway.
Is that where the wedding was?
Yeah, I seem to recall it was around there, but too drunk to play softball the next day. That's drunk. Yeah. All right, sorry. Lyft and Uber.
Yeah, we might not have Uber and Lyft here very much longer. Just depends on how things roll. So they might have to shut down their ride-hailing operations in California if a court ruling that blocks it from classifying its drivers as independent contractors goes into effect. This is according to Fox News, a big story right now. California judge Monday granted the state's request for a preliminary injunction blocking Uber and Lyft from classifying their drivers as independent contractors rather than employees. Several hundred thousand, these are, you know, gig workers in the gig economy. The CEO said in a statement to CNBC, if the court doesn't reconsider, then in California, it's hard to believe we'll be able to switch to our model full-time employment quickly. I want to say, was this AB? What was the proposition?
But that basically,
yeah. Everybody had to switch from being an independent contractor to being an employee, or basically owning your own business and being contracted that way. So if people are just driving...
AB5,
thank you. Then that doesn't fly in California anymore. If they took them on, they would have to give them, you know, a certain pay, benefits. And Uber's like, how that would eviscerate our business model.
Well, the thing is Uber is the price it is, and Uber is whatever it is because they've sidestepped the business model that we have with cabs and medallions and all the official. So this is like, it's one of those things where you have a model. The model's not that efficient. The models don't get a lot of competition, and then they grow less efficient. And before you know it, you got the LA Unified School System. And then somebody says, I got an idea. I'm going to go start my own school and put out a better product at a cheaper price. And that's kind of Lyft and Uber. And the government kind of is stymied for a little bit. They go like, huh? Ooh, what are you doing? I guess it sounds okay. And then eventually they go, wait a minute. How do we get paid?
Yeah, or what? A lot of money off this.
What's in it for us? And then they start to work it out. And then eventually they come back and go, hey, the charter school, you got to start paying for, or whatever that thing is. So they kind of figure it out. And for us, and remember
food
all the
food trucks.
Yeah. It's like, there's like an early version of this where it's like, how safe is this going to be? These guys aren't bonded or whatever it is. And it's like, we don't care who picks us up.
Everybody's
and drives
fine.
Us somewhere. But the problem is, and look, I can kind of see both sides. So here's where my ultimate decision. Here's how I render my decisions. I get that Uber and Lyft are sidestepping this thing in order to save themselves a bunch of money and that's why they can do things much cheaper than traditional companies, because they don't have them as employees and don't have to pay for medical or overtime or whatever. And you go, well, that's that's not right. But on the other hand, where I usually come down on it is when you go, you're taking advantage of this person who is driving for your company. And my feeling is you don't have to drive for the company. If you don't want to be an independent photographer in Los Angeles, and we're getting away from the journalists who write for numbers of newspapers, right, and work part-time or whatever it is, you don't have to do anything. If you feel like you're being taken advantage of. Now, you know, back in the day, we'd put you in a sweatshop and lock the door, and you'd be 11 and you had to make shoes or whatever it was. We used to have that in the United States. But now, most of the people I talk to who drive for Uber, and I would talk to a lot of the drivers, were like, yeah, I like it. I make good money. Yeah. I do it on my own terms. And
you're right. My guess is that of our listeners who are Uber or Lyft drivers, the majority, I'm imagining, want to be like, yeah, just please let me drive and make some money. I don't think I can't imagine they care too much about being independent contractors versus employees.
Well,
like,
remember,
let me have a vocation.
They did want to unionize because they thought they were getting screwed in terms of the cut that the company takes, you know, for each, you know, whatever it is. If it's a $10 trip, I don't know what the percentage, but they thought it was hefty.
It's a balance. It's going to be hard to strike perfectly. But to me, the ultimate decider is you don't have to work for Uber or Lyft. If you feel like they're being unfair, or you should be an employee and you should get full benefits or whatever, then you got to go to In-N-Out Burger and get a job.
Yeah, the CEO of Uber actually wrote a piece in the New York Times at the beginning of this week, kind of stating that he's calling for a change in the employment system and that it's flawed inherently. And he says in public surveys over the last decade, the vast majority of drivers have said they don't want to be employees because of how much they value flexibility.
Yeah, I'm always on the side of the smart guys and never on the side of the government when it comes to we're imposing this thing that's going to help these people.
Well, and that's what I don't understand. And this, I mean, I'm coming at this from a fairly naive place, so please help me understand it. If they think they're helping the worker, then they're wrong. I had to incorporate. I had to spend money that I didn't have to become a corporation so I could work for certain, you know, voiceover and certain other things because they weren't allowed to hire an independent contractor. I lost money on that. It's very expensive to do that. And I don't know, am I being helped because I had to form a company to do a job I was doing already? I don't understand. How did that help me?
I always kind of feel like it's like SAG and AFTRA. Like, hey, we're going to force you to join our union and then we're going to help you. And it's like, I'd like to not join your union. Well, you have to so we can help you. So I think the government is a little that way as well. All right, let me hit Madison Reed Mister here. You folks, you're getting a little gray around the temples, or maybe in the beard as well. Thinking about getting a little coloring in, but you want it to look natural. Madison Reed Mister, it's a gray blending, blends out the gray. It's a natural look. You can go online and find out the right tone for you. Lynette, by the way, big fan of Madison Reed as well. I'm using the Mister. She's using the Sister. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color and match it on the website. It's quick and easy. Comes with a little kit. Comes with a little pouch. Put the gloves on. Rub it around your hands. Just sort of work it through your hair. Then put in the activator. Let it sit there for 10 minutes. Rinse it off. And again, you don't get that sort of Sharpie look. You get a natural look. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com and use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
What else we got, Gina?
So you probably know this by now, but we hadn't discussed it. We talked about college, but NFL players were given until last Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. to tell the league whether or not they're going to play the upcoming season due to COVID-19. At the deadline, 66 players had submitted their decision not to play in the upcoming season. Only three teams recorded no opt-outs. Any thoughts on who those were?
Oh, Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-mm.
No.
Hmm. No.
I follow the 49ers, and I don't remember any 49er opting out.
According to this report, the Falcons, the Chargers, and the Steelers.
Oh.
Hmm. Doesn't seem to
so
be a lot
have
of
a full squad.
Rhyme or reason there. Yeah. So no opt-outs for those three teams. I wonder what the
66 overall.
66 out of 30. So it's like two people per team or something in that neighborhood. Wait a minute. No, sorry. Four people. Three and a half.
No, it's 32 teams.
So I'm trying to do the math. Yeah, okay.
It's a little over two per team, but yeah.
Yeah, a little over two per team. Not too bad.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, they showed a couple people. Nobody made big, the marquee light bulbs around, oh my God, this is our star player. So I don't know if it's anyone that mainstream people who aren't crazy football hardcores will miss, or if you're going to have them on your fantasy team.
The beauty of the sport of football is no one or two guys can affect the team as much as they could as if, a couple guys on the Lakers decided to sit, or a couple of guys in other sporting venues. I don't know. I'm not sure if soccer's that way more so or not, but in football, if there's one thing that Bill Belichick has taught us over the last 20 years, is that you can swap this guy for that guy and do some winning.
That's funny you mentioned that. I think it was a number of Patriots. Like, I think the Patriots had a few notable names, like Jamie Collins and a couple of notable kind of names. Not household names, but notable names to football fans. So it'll be interesting to see if Belichick can kind of reload, or if this is kind of an off year, let's play for a draft pick.
Or maybe Belichick is hedging his bets with the first year without Brady, paying out a couple of notable names to sit out so he can go, well, we didn't have our starting cornerbacks either.
Yep.
Although he's not doing that. Savvy. Yeah. Let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. So, when you go through the obits, they're pretty sad, and we hear about how wonderful people were and who they'll be missed by.
You know what I feel? I'll tell you what I feel bad about for the celebrity or the notable obits for this period we're in. It's the reason we should all feel sorry for Farrah Fawcett for dying on the same day as Michael Jackson. This time has been such a weird time that any celebrity that dies, I have no memory of it.
Yeah.
It's like I can't remember who died. And there's been a few, notable people that have passed in this time period, and it's all just kind of water off the duck's back for me. Like it's not been an imprint or a stamp in my brain.
This would lead the news every night had it not been this time with COVID and with writing. And by the way, Sumner Redstone died, which it did make me think of you.
He just died
yesterday, I believe, or the day before. He was 97. Would you like to know what he died of?
Broken heart.
I that guy just sounds insane to me. The stories that the girls and the stuff. Yeah. But
he was a code breaker in World War II.
Jesus Christ! Wow. All right, I'll do an old Jeff Ross bit. He's 97. You're going to ask me what he died of?
Yeah.
His dune buggy turned over on the turnpike.
I knew you'd get it.
Yeah, that was
natural causes.
Natural causes.
So. Good. So like that, like that didn't lead the news in
not
anything.
At all. Didn't even hear one peep about it.
Yeah. So a 25-year-old died recently in upstate New York, and the family, of course, mourning the loss of this kid, 25 years old. His name's Cody James Holland. They said he was a free-spirited corrections officer, and they didn't pull any punches as to why he died. They said he died because he was a dumbass, according to the obituary. Holland's obituary.
His family wrote that?
Yes. And here's why. I'm going to read you the obituary. Cody James left us on August 8th, 2020, as a result of injuries sustained from being a dumbass. He drank, drove, and didn't wear his seatbelt. Please don't be a dumbass. It goes on to describe Holland, who loved his middle finger and showing his butt to the world. His mother, Colleen Lynch, says she chose to make the obituary brutally honest because he was doing dumbass things. And she said, if this obituary makes even one person rethink drinking and driving, then I have no regrets.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's look, tough love to the grave. Like, I mean, that is
beyond.
That's interesting parenting. I would argue, though, it's like you complaining about your kid being a total piece of shit. Isn't some of that on the parenting? Like, I don't know if
was
you guys.
Sunny?
if you guys are nature or nurture fans, but this one's nature or nurture. Either way, he sprung from your loins, and he's a disrespectful sack of shit who can't hold his
avenue. Yeah, you go down. He's going to look bad on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
She only has so much awareness. She has awareness, but not self-awareness.
I would argue that that's part of the problem, this person's lack of introspection when it comes to child rearing.
Yeah.
Fair.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Quick 15 seconds, simply save. No one should feel unsafe at home. Protect your home today and get free shipping. Two eyes in here, people. SimplySafe.com/Adam and get the protection you deserve. Well, the great Bryan Cranston is ready to zoom in any second now. So we'll take a quick break. We'll say, we'll bid adieu to Gina and Bald, and we'll do a one-on-one with Bryan Cranston right after this.